Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is the reading of God's word. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Let us hear your loving voice through your word. O Father, cause us as we hear your word to grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cause our faith to grow, and let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. O Father, as we hear your word, in your word, let us meet your Son, have fellowship with him, and let us be joyous as we see what your Son has done and accomplished for us. We thank you. We pray that you alone will receive all the glory. And we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From chapter 1, verse 27, all the way to chapter 2, verse 18, Paul is showing us the life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. We are one in Jesus Christ. And verse 1 tells us that since there is the encouragement in Christ and the consolation of love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit and God's affection and compassion, since we possess all these things, well, even though that verse puts that in question form, we have already seen that Paul clearly knows that these Christians have these things. Then, verses 2 to 4, which we are looking at today, Paul says, God says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, we said that this is impossible for us to do if you're really honest about yourself. But because God pours out his grace, that we have the encouragement of Christ and the consolation of love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit and God's affection and compassion, that in Christ we are able. Paul says here, make my joy complete. Now, this is not from his egoistic, selfish heart. You know, what is he that says, well, make my joy complete? But we already know the heart of Paul. We already know that Paul's desire is that whether by death or by life, Christ will be exalted in his life. To Paul, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He loves them with the affection of Christ. He lives with what he calls in chapter 2, verse 5, the attitude of Christ or the mind of Christ. Then what is he doing by saying, make my joy complete? Well, Paul, as always, identifies himself with Christ. He takes the joy of Christ to be his own joy. Yes, joy of Christ is now our joy. What is the joy of Paul? It is that the members of the Philippian church be sanctified, be more and more like Jesus Christ. And as you know, this is the joy of Jesus Christ. But also, now, it is joy of Paul. And it should be your joy. This is joy of Christ, but also this is applying what he says in verse 3 to himself. With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Considering others more important than oneself, thus as the members of Philippian church lives that life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, they need to consider joy of Paul first. Just like you and I are called to consider joy of others first. And for that joy, joy of others, we must do. And Paul says, make my joy complete by doing the verses 2 to 4. Verse 2. Let us look at these verses in a little bit more detail here. Being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Now, four things here. And we're going to look at the first and the last together. Being of the same mind, and our translation, NASB, says intent on one purpose. But if you look at ESV translation, being of the same mind and of one mind. Because they both, those two phrases contain the same word, the mind. So ESV will say, being of the same mind and of one mind. And this mind is, of course, verse 5, the mind or the attitude of Christ. Literally, it says, thinking the same thing and one thing. Or adopt the same viewpoint and one viewpoint. Of course, God is not telling us to be one in all things. Obviously not. You know, world talks about being one also. But being one apart from Christ is actually sin. Only in truth we are to be one. We cannot be one in falsehood. No. Only in truth. Only in the gospel. Chapter 4, verse 2 says, to live in harmony in the Lord. Or ESV says, agree in the Lord. Only in the Lord we are to agree. not just agree with anything or anybody. Obviously, you cannot agree with Satan. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we'll attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We must be one when it comes to faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But obviously not all of us are there yet. Thus, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you." We are to be one in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but not everybody has the same knowledge. But Paul says, rather than kicking them out, Paul says that God will reveal that to you, that you need to change your attitude or your mind. So we pray for those people and we wait. Wait on the Lord. Same faith, one faith. This is very important, obviously, but it's not enough. That's why there's four things in verse 2. Not just being of the same mind and one mind, but it says maintaining the same love. We must love. You know, church like ours may have an easy time when it comes to have the same mind and one mind when it comes to the truth. But when it comes to love, not easy. And united in spirit, or ESV says, being in full accord. Literally, it means two souls being united as one. The word soulmate captures the meaning. Meaning of what NASB says, united in spirit. Thus, put all things together, verse 2 says, being of the same mind and one mind and with love that will bind your souls together. Now, the world might use these same words, but our being oneness is always in Jesus Christ. Thus, the nature and the purpose of Christian oneness are completely different from the nature and the purpose of worldly oneness. At the time of Jesus Christ, the whole world became one in killing Jesus. We're not just seeking oneness, but oneness in Christ. Christians, our oneness is the result of God's grace, of the encouragement in Christ, and the consolation of love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit, and God's affection and compassion. This is what brought us this oneness. So, being of the same mind, one mind, and that love that would bind our souls together, we are to do what? Continues verse 3. Let's look at the first part of that verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Selfishness. Do nothing from selfishness. ESV says rivalry. So you put selfishness and rivalry, thus NIV says selfish ambition. And I think that translation brings out the true meaning. Selfish ambition. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Competitiveness results in exalting oneself. Doing all things for myself, even helping others, is for myself. We see this a lot. I mean, there are many people who help, but it's for you. You want to feel good and you want to be well known. The world always, you know, every time those millionaires or billionaires, they give out so much money, we get to know about it. They call the press, tell the whole world what they're doing. This is the world. God says, when you do these things, let your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing. But no, world is all about selfish ambition. It's exalting oneself. Even helping others is for yourself. This desire to receive all the credit and praise. And these will do good things, even self-sacrificing works, but at the end, they want to exalt themselves. Don't do anything out of that. So there's competition in the church. In serving, they want to outdo others, so that they will get the credit and praise. In Philippian church, there was a problem like that. And not only selfishness, but empty conceit. This word, phrase, empty conceit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 28, vain glory. Or empty glory, or self-glory. Not the glory of God, but my own glory is the purpose of all I do. I want to be recognized. This is the desire of sinners. We don't do that well here in our church because we just don't recognize anybody, anything. Sometimes people call me and said, you know, doing something, and I said, why do I have to know? Of course, you know, I said it with good purpose, but some people get angry when I say it like that. Yeah, why do I... You know, pastor, why do I need to know that? Only God needs to know. So people who want to be recognized in this church, they don't stay that long. They go. Because we just don't do that well. We just don't do. People want to be recognized, and that when that does not happen, then they become jealous, thus rivalry. These are what Galatians chapter 5 calls the work of the flesh, not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The world lives for themselves, exalt themselves, and seek empty glory, self-glory. But brothers and sisters in Christ, we are not like that. We are different. We are called to live the very life of Christ. Jesus Christ our Lord has emptied himself and humbled himself to the death of the cross to glorify not himself but his Father. And we are called to do the same. Verse 3b. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And verse 4 says, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. The humility of mind, again, the mind of Jesus Christ. If Matthew chapter 11, verse 29b, Jesus said, I am gentle and humble in heart. Humility of mind, the mind that considers the others more important than oneself. Now, if you really think about this, this is not that easy. Don't say, okay, I'll do this, because you won't. Only in Christ, by faith, that as much as you do will be received by God as you do. The mind that considers the others more important than oneself, the mind that looks out for the interests of the others. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. A person who considers the others more important than himself and looks out for the interests of others, that person is a servant. Who does this? A servant does this. In the world. Why would anybody put others more important than oneself in the world? And why would anybody look out for the interests of others? Well, if you're a servant, that's your job. This command signals to us that the world is dead to us and we are dead to the world. We do not live according to the patterns of this world. You have been saved out from that. The sinful world is all about self. The most important person is the self and looks out for self-interest. And nobody will blame anybody for living like that in the world. You are actually encouraged to live like that. But on the side, you help some people. But even that, you know, secretly, it's still about you. Okay. We'll praise you. Like we said before, even looking out for others is in terms of looking out for oneself. In pursuit of self-happiness, the world will do anything, even if one has to destroy or hurt others. Maybe not flat out outwardly, but, you know, if it's you could get away with, you'll do it. But this is the world. A it considers self more important than others. And it is all about looking out for oneself. Jesus tells us the complete opposite, signaling to us that this world is dead to us and we are dead to it. That we just do not belong here. We are citizens of the other world. You and I have been saved out of all these things. And we are called to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, Jesus Christ has considered you and me more important than himself, and he considered our affairs more important than his. That is what the cross is all about. When you look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, he considered you more important than himself. He loved the others more than himself. And it was for the others he died on the cross. He loved the others, and for the others he humbled himself from the glory of heaven all the way down to the death on the cross. Mark chapter 10 verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." He considered the needs of others more important than his own needs. Without this mind, without this attitude, there will be no salvation for us. Because Jesus had this mind, he did what he did for us. And God calls us to participate in his life. In these verses, we see two kinds of people in this world. One, who considers the others more important. The other, who considers himself most important. One, who looks out for the affairs of the others. The other, who looks out only for himself. Two completely different kind of people, two different kind of way of living. One belongs to heaven, the other belongs to this world. You ask, who is able to do this? Well, if the mind of Christ is given to you, you will. Otherwise, you will never do it. Not even in hell you will do this. But if you are given the mind of Christ, our salvation is described in many ways, but one way is that the new heart is given to you. What kind of heart do you think that is? It's the heart of Christ. But see, you must believe first before anything can happen. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 And we'll talk about this more next time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now you really need to understand Bible in a biblical way. Just because Philippians, it says, have the mind of Christ. It's a command. Doesn't mean that you don't have the mind of Christ and now you need to get it. No, you already have the mind of Christ. That's what it means to be saved. That's why he says to you, have the mind of Christ. I always tell you, every command flows out from what Christ has already done and accomplished for you. Very first thing you must do is that you have to believe. That you believe that you have the mind of Christ. Without that, you cannot even begin. But once you believe, faith will enable you. This is God's way. People just don't believe. Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33, be not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many. We are to love one another this way. And until we do, we cannot really say we love others. Because the love that Christianity is talking about is love of Christ. And that love of Christ, as he comes as a man to die for us, is considering others more important than oneself. That's the love that the Bible is speaking of. Thus, I hope you and I, we repent of our selfishness. And we depend more on God. And by faith, we live. That has to be there. Otherwise, even if your best effort, you will fail. This kind of love is absolutely necessary in being one in Christ. You know, the world talks about love also. But it's not the love that the Bible is speaking of. And even in churches, if you just love according to the world level, oh, you will be recognized. Oh, they will praise you. But it's not Christian love. Yes, we are already one in Christ. Again, first we need to believe. We're not trying to be one. We are already one. You know, some people think that just because we don't have a good fellowship, that we are not one. No, in Christ, we are one, no matter what. Even if you do not do well in witnessing that reality, you are still one in Christ. Now, not witnessing that reality well in the life of church, that's our sin. But even as we sin, that being oneness has not changed. We are one in Christ. And you will see that when you die. If you don't believe me now. It's not our effort that accomplishes that oneness. It's the work of Christ that accomplished that oneness. But we must believe that and reflect that in our lives. We must live by faith. All our actions or works has to flow out from our faith. Otherwise, it's sin. No matter how the world thinks, whatever you have done is good. It's sin because God says in Romans, without faith, everything is sin. Please understand, brothers and sisters. I want you to live a life that will actually bring glory and honor to you, not just praises from other people who are looking at you with their physical eyes. No. The judgment of men and the judgment of God, they are not the same. Brothers and sisters, we must witness that heavenly reality of being one in Christ by loving one another in this way. Yes, we might be one in doctrines, but also must love by considering the other people more important than ourselves. And this is the life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. You know, it is utterly impossible for us to do this, but only thing that could change our minds so that we may be able to do this is the gospel. You understand what Jesus has done for you. That's the only thing that will move your heart to do this. That Jesus considered me more important than himself. That's why he came. That's why he died for me. Of course, we're going to look at this more in detail in verses 5 through 11, because 5 through 11 clearly shows the life of Christ. God's people who already possess the encouragement in Christ and the consolation of love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit and God's affection and compassion, be of the same mind and one mind and with love that would bind your souls together, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves and do not merely look out for your own interest, but also the interests of the others. Let us do that to witness our heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. You must understand when we go to heaven, this is exactly how we're going to live. And that life has already accomplished for you. You already possess that life. This is how we are in heaven. Yes, when I go to heaven, I will perfectly love you. But until that day when all things are visible, I need to live by faith, believing what is already accomplished by Jesus. I must do my best to reflect that reality as much as possible. That whatever I do has to come flow out of my faith. Not just, that's what we should do. No, it's not what you should do, even though it is in one sense, but it is who you are. You've got to to understand this, it has to be faith. That's what Christianity is all about. Brothers and sisters, does this command? On the surface, you read and you go, oh, how can I do this? This is impossible. But you need to really realize by reading this command, you need to rejoice. It shows what Christ has done for you. It shows what kind of person that He already has made you to be. It shows your heavenly reality. It shows how you are forever and ever. So these commands do not bring burdens to us, but joy. See, when you don't understand the gospel, all the commands become burden. But all the commands shows you your heavenly realities. Who you are in Christ, now and forever. That command shows that. Every command in the Bible shows that. Let us rejoice that I have become that kind of person already in Christ. Yes, I will fail repeatedly for next, I don't know, hopefully 20 years, but maybe 30, 40 years. But one day you will see me. And you will see me living this perfect life. And then on, that's how I am going to live forever. Until then, I believe all that. And with that faith, because I know who I am, I will act like who I am as much as possible. That is my life in Christ. And when I fail to do as much as possible, I will repent. And have confidence that my sins are forgiven because Jesus bore my sins and died upon that cross. Not only that, He lived that perfect righteous life. He loved perfectly for me. So that life is already mine to possess. Even as my own life, we'll do our best. Live by faith. Oh, brothers and sisters, I pray that you would understand the Christian life that Bible describes. That you would understand and believe what is life that is lived by faith is all about. And if you have any problem understanding this, come talk to me. Because this is seriously important. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us then, by faith, witness who we have become in Jesus Christ. Thus we participate in the oneness of the Father and the Son. Do you have any doubt or any problem understanding oneness between the Father and the Son? And Jesus tells us that we are invited to participate in that oneness. Brothers and sisters, let us give ourselves for the benefit of the others. witnessing how we are truly one in Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Your grace is amazing. The blessings that we have received from you is truly amazing. Words cannot describe. Oh Father, let us clearly believe what your Son has done for us, what he has accomplished for us, how we have become your children who possess the mind of Christ, that mind that considers others more important than ourselves, that mind that looks out for the affairs of others, that this is our present reality in Christ. Let us live by faith. By faith, let us witness as much as possible what is true of us in Jesus Christ. Bless us. Bless your people. Pour out the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you. We love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.